In mid-October, and the series has been focused on how the biblical storyline shows us that God wants to dwell with us. Not only does he want to dwell with us, but he desires to fill the world, the whole world, with his presence. And so throughout the fall, we've been looking at passages from the Bible, some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament, to help us reflect on this theme. And as we close this series tonight, if you are part of City Church regularly, or if you're visiting and you were hoping for not a long sermon, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to you. It's going to be a much shorter message than it usually is, but we're going to look at a passage from the very last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible is Revelation, and there are 22 chapters in Revelation, and our five verses tonight come from chapter 21. Pastor Israel is going to come and read those verses first in English and then in Spanish.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who has seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I will read it now in Spanish. If you want to follow along, you have it here printed, and then read it in more languages because I don't speak more than two. Entonces vi un cielo nuevo y una tierra nueva, porque el primer cielo y la primera tierra habían pasado, y el mar ya no existía. Y vi la ciudad santa, la nueva Jerusalén, descender del cielo de Dios, dispuesta como una novia ataviada para su marido. Y oí una gran voz desde el trono que decía: "He aquí la morada de Dios está con el hombre. Él morará con ellos, y ellos serán su pueblo. Y Dios mismo estará con ellos como su Dios. Él enjugará toda lágrima de sus ojos, y la muerte no será más, ni habrá más luto, ni llanto, ni dolor, porque las cosas primeras han pasado." Y el que estaba sentado en el trono dijo: "He aquí, yo hago nuevas todas las cosas." También dijo: "Escribe esto, porque estas palabras son confiables y verdaderas." Amén.
Back in June, Jessica Vincent, you do not know this person. If you do, that will come as quite the surprise to me. Jessica Vincent bought a colorful glass vase for $3.99 at a Goodwill just outside of Richmond, Virginia. She bought it thinking that it would look nice somewhere in her house. It turns out that it was a highly prized piece of art. It was designed by a world-renowned Italian glass artist in the 1940s. And Vincent sold this vase at an auction earlier this month, I believe on December 13th, for just over $107,000. She bought it for $3.99, sold it for over $107,000. Do you think Jessica Vincent was quite surprised? Yes, I would say so. As I came across this story this week, it caused me to reflect on how we sense that Christmas is special, but it turns out that its value is actually so much higher than we sometimes often think. We maybe think of the value of Christmas having to do with it being festive, right? We think of it as having to do with the giving and receiving of gifts, being with others, Christmas lights, these kinds of things. And these kinds of things can absolutely bring joy to our lives. But this actually is not the deeper meaning of Christmas. The deeper meaning of Christmas is God with us. And this actually has been the theme of our series, This Fall Dwell. We've been tracing throughout the biblical storyline how God desires to dwell with us, his people. And from Revelation 21, I just want to take a few moments to reflect on how God one day will fully dwell with his people. And this is both a future hope, but also a future promise, but also a present reality. So a future promise and a present reality. The vision that you heard Pastor Israel read for us is future-oriented. It's out there. It's what we're heading towards. It's the goal of history. We anticipate its coming, its arrival, in the same way that the people of the Old Testament waited and anticipated the arrival of Jesus, God in the flesh. And in this vision, John, who is the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, if you're familiar with the Bible, this vision that he experiences, he experiences it while he's exiled on the island of Patmos in the Roman Empire. So he's exiled because of his proclaiming and living of the good news of Jesus. It was not popular in the Roman Empire, this message that Jesus is Lord over all. And so John is exiled, and he has these experiences, these visions, and this is one of those visions that he has of the goal of history. And what does he see in this vision? He sees a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Now, as we read this, we might think, okay, the goal of history is for God to destroy and remove this current earth, but that is actually not the case. Later in the verses, John has a vision of Jesus on the throne saying, I am making all things new. And this word new that is used by Jesus, it really means renewed. And so the idea here is that God is going to take what has been spoiled. He's going to take what has been corrupted and polluted and ruined in so many ways and recover it. Renew it, make it new in that sense. And the language that we hear here in the description, we should listen to it all and read it all through that lens or that grid. The sea will be no more. What that means is that the sea in ancient times represented chaos. And so what John is seeing in his vision is this promise that one day there will be no more chaos in the future. There will be no more suffering, no more pain. And why is that? Well, the culmination of this vision is what? The descent of heaven to earth, the descent of God's kingdom, the descent of God himself to dwell with his people. And what John reminds us of is that God will be their God and he will be their people. If you've been around this fall for the Dwell series, you know that this is the theme from the beginning to the end. In the very beginning of the Bible, God creates the world as his cosmic temple. And he places humanity, those who are made in his image, to be priests caring for this creation, to be mediators between what God has made and God himself, to be caretakers of it, to cultivate it. But humanity rebels against God's good design, his good purposes. And it brings ruin and corruption and pollution and all of these kinds of things that reflect brokenness that we know all too well. It brings it all into every area of life, touches every aspect of God's creation. But this vision is a vision of the undoing of all of that. It's a vision of cleansing. It's a vision of making new. And it's a future promise. This is the goal of the biblical drama. What made things so right in the beginning? God's presence, God dwelled with his people. Heaven and earth were one. They were united. And that's why we see in this vision that the goal is what? It's heaven and earth being reunited the way it's meant to be, God with his people. This is what we long for. Now, I understand that it's possible that you've come in tonight and you are not a church-going person. Maybe you find yourself here because you felt like, seems like a good thing to do this time of year, or maybe you were invited. And so as you hear me say that, it might confuse you a little bit. Like, what are you talking about? I don't long for this, but just hear me out for a second. We all actually, deep down inside, long for this good ending. I mean, fine, just I'll give you this for a second, that maybe the ending, let's just say the Bible isn't true, for example, but deep down inside, you still long for a good ending. And the Bible, the biblical story, delivers to us this good ending. But the biblical story also claims that this is actually historically true. It's real. And it's what we long for. We long for a good ending. We long for there to be no more suffering and grief and pain. We encounter this in so many different ways in our lives. There's international conflict. There's conflict in our own cities. There's conflict in our own homes. There's conflict in our own relationships. And it goes on and on and on. And don't you find yourself so often weary by all of this? And don't you find yourself longing for this to be true, that God would actually come and do something about it, that we might be able to experience his presence as a presence that is near and close? Don't you long for your tears to be wiped away, for death to be no more, for there to be no more mourning, crying, or pain? This is the future promise. And at Christmas, it's a promise we look forward to because Jesus has come once. And he promises to come again to make this real. But this is not only a future promise, it's also meant to be a present reality. See, remember, John is exiled on the island of Patmos. And the churches in the Roman Empire were experiencing intense persecution at this time. So John's not trying to just tell them a good story to make them feel better about their future. He's wanting this future hope to flood into their presence, to actually make a difference in how they go about their lives, how they look at the world around them. And that is to be the case for us. That if this is true, and the Bible claims that it is true, it is to shape our present. It's to change the way we look at things. It's to change the way we lean into life. We don't have to back away. We don't have to retreat. We don't have to sweep things under the rug. We don't have to be dishonest. We don't have to pretend like all of these things that we know all too well that are real, we don't have to pretend like they aren't real. We have the freedom to do that, but also to lean into it with hope. And yes, we long for what will come in its fullness, but we get to see glimpses. We get to see these reflections of light in our lives. And God invites us, John invites us in this vision to change the way we look at the world, to see the world through this lens, that there is a future promise that makes a difference in the present. Everything sad will come untrue. That's the message of this vision. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to make practical in our lives because of what we experience. But it is the promise that is meant to make a difference even in this Christmas season. And what is beautiful about this is that there's an invitation to make this vision our own, as I was talking about. To begin to see the world, our own lives, little by little, more and more through the promise that is contained in this vision. And the invitation is to not, okay, here's the vision, get your life aligned with it now. Measure up, Do what you have to do to get yourself together so that your life reflects a little bit more this future promise. That's not the invitation. The invitation is one of newness. That God promises that as you give yourself fully to Jesus, God promises, his desire is to make you new. Not just simply a better person, although that should be a byproduct absolutely of the newness, but he actually wants to make you new. And this is the essence of Christianity, that we are made into new people. And it's by the power of God, the power of grace, the power of Jesus in our lives, that increasingly, little by little, and sometimes it's frustrating, but little by little, our lives begin to reflect that future promise a little bit more. And so, where are you this Christmas season? Are you being dishonest with yourself? Are you using the Christmas season as a way to try to ignore what is real in your own life and in the world around you? You don't have to do that. And you also don't have to take it upon yourself to figure out how to make it all right. The invitation is to simply receive this vision as true. Like, just give yourself to it. It's hard to believe because it doesn't align with our present reality. But just this Christmas season, your Christmas season, give yourself to it. Put yourself out there and ask Jesus, if he is real, to change you, to make you new, to make a difference, and to trust in what he has done for you and not in what you tell yourself you have to do to earn God's favor. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as the Christmas season is upon us, some of us feel joy. Others of us feel grief. Some of us feel closeness. Others of us feel loneliness. I pray that wherever we are in this moment and in the days to come, that you would take this vision and prove to our hearts and minds that it is real. And I pray that this promise of what is to come in the future would change our lives, even if it's just a little bit in the present. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.